Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
On this episode, we review Civilization Beyond Earth, Binding of Isaac Rebirth, and Bobby spoils Star Wars. It was a spit take, like a classic.
Yeah, a literal spit take, yeah. Spit take. I spit all over. Well, I was just, Bobby's constantly warning us to not spill shit anywhere, and I just told him, dude, I've never spilled once. Like, back off. And then, I would say within 10 seconds, I was taking a sip of my drink, and Chad very poshly, as like super polite and super like professional, said, "Albert, I need you to look up Doki Doki." And he didn't even get to the next word. I had sprayed vodka all over our equipment and floor. And Bobby hates me even more than usual.
And we're off to a great start.
And we're off to a great start.
Okay, was that our beginning?
Sure, why not?
That's going to be our intro? Okay, cool. All right, so big stories this week. We're finally getting to it. Civilization Beyond Earth. We've gone way beyond Earth.
That's it. Yeah.
How far beyond Earth are we? You guys played the game, right?
I played the game.
He played the game.
I tried to get Chad to play, but it was taking a shit, so...
I want to play the game. This is one of the games I want to play, but you told me not to get it.
Yeah, I don't want you spending $60. You know what? Are we getting into it?
Yeah. We're getting into it.
All right, so. Endless Legends better. So that's all it comes down to. For me, for sure. It felt... I'm not going to say it. Clunky's too hard. It's harsh of a word. Not that clunky, but way clunkier than Endless Legend. Endless Legend was nice and smooth, and I kept saying how like the ambience, and everything about it was pleasant. Civ was a little rough around the edges, which is funny because one's a giant IP and the other one's might as well be an indie title.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Now this got 81 on Metascore, but the users gave it 5.7. And I feel like from what I've been hearing, the general feedback is people did not like it as much as Civ 5.
So, like, the main selling point on this, though, is like a future-based civilization, Civ, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so...
what this has that Endless Legend doesn't have, I felt, is a very good story. You know, Earth is going to be destroyed or we're running out of resources or whatever. So, 6 coalitions, I believe... the Asians, the Europeans, the Russians, the Americans, the South Americans, and the Africans. Each one of them sends a rocket all at once, and they all land on this habitable planet at the same time. And, you know, everybody lands, and conflicts arise very quickly.
Gotcha.
I think it's random where the other people land.
Is the
I had somebody land right
procedurally?
Next to me.
Generate?
Yes, I've never seen two the same. So, you've never played a Civ game.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
This was going to be my first, and I was excited to play it.
Yeah. So, one of the games, probably my fourth game, the other civilization landed, like, right next to me. So, I was like, I'm just going to fuck them up. I'm going to try to do that. So, I made, like, 3 or 4 soldiers. But cities are really hard to take, and they fucking decimated me, and I lost, so... I don't know how much of a benefit it is to go on early, but that's just splitting hairs here. So I would say, yeah, I'm just going to keep going back to it. I would rather play Endless Legend, and the concept behind this game is better than the actual game,
I would say. I think one of the selling points for me would be the tech trees and all. How are those set up compared to like Endless Legend?
Better, I would say that's probably this really good. You know, I think we talked about this before, but you can win the game several ways.
Yeah,
you can win through. I mean, if you have culture, you can win through culture, which is if you make enough wonders, right? You build wonders usually, mm-hmm. right? You build better and better wonders. So I guess if you get a Statue of Liberty, everybody puts their nukes away or something. I don't know how that's supposed to work, but there's a couple new ones to me. I don't remember them from Civ 5. I didn't enjoy Civ 5 very much. I don't like strategy games. That's why I shouldn't have been the one to do this. But So there's the alien tree now. So it's all about cultivating alien DNA and working with it and going in that direction.
Because there's aliens on the planet.
There's aliens on the planet, right? Okay. But they're not sentient. They're more like animalistic.
Gotcha.
And you could like wipe them out and take their nest and get more resources out of that. That was pretty fun. But ultimately, I don't think I can recommend this.
How is the fighting in this game compared to like Endless Legend?
Sucks. One of the worst parts. If it's 2-on-1, so they do their interplay, right? We attack you, you attack you, and then that's it. And then you have to wait till the next turn for your other teammate, even though he's already surrounding that guy, to attack that guy again. So, like, teaming up doesn't help as much as it should.
And is it... Because in Endless Legend, when you fight, you actually go into, like...
Right, it's some cool little, like, mini fight. Yeah, if you want to. And you, but, yeah, you can't do any of that.
It's just computer.
Yeah.
It's just run by the number generator. Yeah,
it's probably the biggest letdown from this game.
I've heard people complain about the tech trees in this one. It's more web-based. Like, you start similar to... What was that robotic driving car game?
That's exactly
RoboCraft.
What it is.
RoboCraft.
It's exactly what it is.
Where you start with one ability, and then you branch out in a web-like pattern. Mm-hmm. And people have said this is different from Civ 5, where you would just... it was like a standard tree that you build up. But people had difficulty with this, I guess, because if you... need something and you didn't already branch into it, then it's too late. You're never going to get there.
So yeah, they call it really branches and leaves. So mm-hmm. if you haven't gone to the branch yet, you can't get any of the leaves.
Oh, okay.
And if you really need a leave for like a quest, you're like, fuck, I got to do 75 turns to get that, you know? My other big complaint would be the turns themselves. Okay, my turn's done. Endless Legend... It was almost instant. It was under a second figuring out what everybody else was doing. This is, you're sitting there up to 3-4 seconds. The more and more complex the game gets, the longer.
You're playing in about 3 or 4 seconds?
Yeah, but that's every turn, dude. So you're doing this, in 10 minutes, you might have 30 turns. That adds up.
So
you're wasting my time. Why haven't you figured out what they're going to do while I'm taking my turn? Yeah. I know me taking my turn does affect what they're doing, but if it doesn't, it should be already pre...
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah. Endless Legend, you could have like 15 cities by the end of it.
That's how this is.
Is yeah. that...
If not more. You should anyway, because okay. they could all be working on different
This games. Whole quest thing is new. That wasn't in Civ 5, and I've heard that's the only way you can win the game is by fulfilling these quests.
I don't remember that there wasn't quests in Civ 5. I was just doing them. They're pretty simple to do. The ones that I did. I mean, I did fall in... A couple times I did fall into the... One more turn. But then I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to win this. And I just threw it away. And I played probably 6 different games. I do want to beat the game one time. I think I'm going to go back and try it. Really try it. Because I want to see how I went through the alien branch. I also want to see how you can win through the cultural branch. Those are the ones I'm interested in, so I'm going to really try to, like, maybe defend. There's a lot of defensive stuff, so I'm going to try to maybe defend and try to get my culture really, whatever it is, and build statues. I don't know how statues make people put their nukes away, but yeah. You can nuke other cities now, too. That's without even researching. It's just, like, a built-in ability. It's really weird.
Wow.
So what you're saying though is if you got money to spend on one, you're buying Endless Legend.
Yeah, was it $60?
No, I thought it was $40.
Yeah. That's even more reasonable. Yeah,
Endless Legend is $39.99.
Yeah.
Beyond Earth is $49.99 or $59.99.
Makes me think that you're playing $59. For the cinematic trailer. I mean, it's kick ass. The cinematic
trailer. You're paying for the name, let's be honest.
Well, they have a long record of really good games. Civ 5 was a really good game, from what people tell me. Yeah, I mean, I played it, but...
Civ 5 was the best of the series, Bobby?
It's actually the only one I've played, but yeah, I've heard it's the best in the series.
Okay.
And it has a ton of DLC, and I'd imagine this is going to have that as well.
Yeah, but who cares, because I'm not going to be there for that party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already a whole lot of content, but what happened with Civ 5 is they brought in new factions that you could play in and changed the game quite a bit, and it was a lot of fun. I did enjoy Civ 5 a lot, but...
It's funny that you say that people are complaining about that branching system, because I thought that was the strongest point in the whole game. I like those web type.
Yeah, no, those are cool.
That would you start in the middle. Maybe Civ people weren't used to it, and maybe that's what they're complaining about.
I really liked Endless Legends strategy.
Yeah. It was similar, wasn't it?
Well, it had like...
Oh.
Eras. Not eras. Was it eras that they called it?
Yeah.
You could like... or whatever. You could like pick... You could pick your order, but after you hit 7...
You go to the next one.
You could unlock the next one, but you could still do the previous ones if you wanted.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. But then you...
It's funny because I only played Endless Legend for an hour, and I still can say it's... It just feels better. Shit works. I had several bugs while I was playing it. And you know, maybe they were sussed out by now. But yeah, there's a couple things where like two of my units were on the same tile. And I could not designate either one of them. I couldn't tell them what to do. I was just like, what the fuck? So I threw that game away.
I feel like in strategy games, and maybe this is just me, like you build up your armies at least to protect yourself. But I feel like it's just so much easier to win through conquering than any other strategy. Like, I really want to learn... I'm the person that wants to build up science and
the
tech trees. But even me trying to do that, my armies have already taken over the rest of the map by the time I get my tech trees.
Well, you played it on super easy, too, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's valid.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to... I do feel a urge to beat this in one of the non-military trees.
Yeah.
So I'll report back next week on that.
Hmm. Okay. And from a quick note, while we're wrapping it up here on Civ 5, or I'm sorry, Beyond Earth, this does support AMD's Mantle, and I've heard the performance really has a boost. So if you have an AMD card, this would be a great game to have on that.
That's the other thing. And this says it looks better.
This has its own kind of...
Oh, it looks fine. It looks fine.
Just Endless Legend was so clean and like precise and crisp.
Crisp.
Yeah.
Man, we harp on that game a lot, but it really is.
I still haven't gone back to it, though. That's the problem. There's so many games coming out. It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, let's move on to the other game that came out November 4th, Binding of Isaac Rebirth. Long awaited.
I watched the last.
Just jacking off, getting ready to play this game.
I watch all the podcasts because I'm a narcissist. And I was like, but everybody's like, yay! Like, I was so excited about it. And it finally came out. And it is not... It's a great game. It's better than the first one and all that jazz and everything.
I don't know. Oh, I'm not sure if I'm giving it better than the first game.
So crazy, man.
It's
better in every single way.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. The biggest thing for me was the visual look of it. It had an 8-bit... graphic filter, and now I know it's called a filter.
Yeah.
Because and it looked very 8-bit, and that's the look that he wanted. And I was like, man, that's the worst part. And I was playing it, I'm like, it just doesn't feel like Binding of Isaac to me. You can go in the options and take off the filter and make it look like the first game. And if that was my biggest complaint, and I took it away, it's better than the original game in every single way. What could you possibly say? Besides your stupid-ass mouse control.
Well, one, they took away mouse control.
Nobody was using it.
Which was huge for me because I love the mouse control on it. So you're taking away a feature on it on a game that's supposed to be more advanced. You know, I didn't like that. The other thing is, I don't like the new look. I like the old look. Like, there was something clean and simple about the old look. This... Like, when you come in, it does, like, the pixelization to come in and all. Right. Like, they're just adding effects to add effects. They don't actually add anything to the game.
Okay.
And that bothers me a little bit. It's like, let's do something that's meaningful. And none of these, really, add-ons were meaningful. And I'm excited about the new items and all.
Items is really what it comes down to, right? Yeah. Right? There's a bunch of new items and...
New monsters,
yeah. Some really wicked ones that are fucking hard to beat. Like, there's a couple that are... There's probably two that are way too easy, and there's probably two new ones that are way too hard. And it works out.
New ones that are easy? I don't know.
The little poops.
Oh,
are okay. way too easy.
Okay.
And
but their boss, the boss poop is hard.
Yeah, and the melty face guys, they don't do shit. I'm never going to be hit by them ever.
Yeah.
And then and co-op play. So
wait, let's explain if somebody's never played this game, what kind of game is this?
This is your quintessential roguelike. This is it. This is when I think of roguelike, this is it.
And this is what, $15 right now?
I believe so.
Yeah, $14.99 retail.
But as far as content for per cent, you is there anything that can?
When we talked about the original by name, we were talking about how good of a deal it was.
Yeah,
well, that one costs $4.99, but you could find it on sale for like a dollar. But still, you know, $15 really isn't a lot of money, and this has got overwhelmingly positive reviews.
Yeah. Because it's Binding of Isaac. Yeah. Let's be honest.
To put it into perspective, I bought the first game plus the DLC for like $7.50. I put 117 hours into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and this has more, and it's $15.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
So this has more content than the original one?
Yeah, it's the same game. Let's not get it twisted here. This is the same game. Not a whole lot has changed. Of course, they've added a whole bunch of new things. The biggest concern for me going into, besides the looks, was a lot of the selling points on the original were just programming mistakes, really. You would shoot. It felt kind of loose. That's just like because it was a very simple game, right? So I think that's what they spent all the why it took so long for this game to come out.
Well, they had to get that one feel. Programmer doing it, right?
Right. But they had to get that one programmer feel again with a much more sophisticated engine. Am I making any sense? Are you guys saying what I'm saying? It's kind of like people that try to get a modern sports car to feel like an old school sports car.
Yeah.
But it's way more technologically advanced. It's like that. So the feel is... I wouldn't say spot on, but I would say even better because now it doesn't fuck up as much.
Do you get errors where you just start running in one direction?
On this one?
Yeah.
No.
See, I get that all the time.
It might be your keyboard.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, if it's the same direction, I would think. Hmm. But anyway, what else can I say? Oh, okay, so now we have co-op, which isn't like I'm Ken and he's Ryu. It's more like... I'm Ryu and he's like my Dan. Left foot. He's my left foot. Like you're a little shadow of the other guy. And not just that, you take health away to just spawn the first time. You take health away from the main character. So he only starts with let's just talk about Isaac. He starts with 3 hearts. One whole heart is dedicated to spawning that little dude. And that little dude, there's 100 of them. And I would say, this is just a guess going on what I've played. 75 of them have the exact same setup. They just shoot and they look weird. They all look. There's a little Optimus Prime one. It's fucking awesome. Today we got a Gingerbread Man one. He had a bite out of his head. It was pretty cool. And then there's some that are just like generic and lame. But whatever. There's 100 of them. And
are they that big of a help to give up one?
You double your damage.
He's shooting just like you, and any upgrades you have. Like, he got triple shot, and so my guy had triple shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this local only?
Yes.
Yes.
Right now. And I haven't heard any plans to make it non-local, but...
I don't know if latency would be able to work very well.
So, as far as it being an advantage, I would say no. It depends on your... It's like anything. It depends on your run and what the items we get. Chad and I barely... Should we talk about like how that ended?
I mean, you got it recorded, right?
So yeah, we recorded it, so we'll put it on there. We just happened to win because we got a ton of hearts, extra hearts, and I could just keep devoting to. By the way, Sam, my girl, plays better than Chad. Me and her just beat the game. She died twice. Really? He died 7 times by the time we got through the last thing. Anyway,
because I'm good.
I can see what Chad's issue is. He keeps thinking he's Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when he gets hit, it's not because he's not dodging well. It's because he's getting confused because there's so much shit going on.
And the other thing is...
I would do the same thing.
Different than the original Binding, they've got big rooms now. So it's either double length ones or four times the size of a normal room.
Yeah.
So your screen is actually moving. Like Binding of Isaac has never had a moving screen before. Mm-hmm. You'd go in and the whole room was showing on one screen.
Yeah.
And then you'd go into another. But this one has rooms big enough that the screen moves. So when the screen moves, your little guy moves with the screen. So if he's moving around on a big map, he could be pushing your guy around, and you end up going where you don't want to go.
Right. Or you can't go where you're trying to dodge something. You hit a wall that I created because I was going left, you were going right.
Yeah. If he goes far enough away, does it split screen or does it
restrict you?
That's what we're complaining about.
Yeah, you're constricted. You're restricted to his screen.
Although I wouldn't say it's a complaint so much as...
it's just a limitation.
It's a limitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they shouldn't fix it. That's the way it should be, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the split screen can be even more disorienting.
Well, you can't be split screen because it's local co-op. So there would be no split screen.
Yeah,
it would be in some games, if you do go separate ways, then
it
literally splits the screen, and then each of you have your own screen to see where you go. And it's almost more difficult to play like that than it is to be restricted to one person's screen.
I think... I think it's harder than the original game, wouldn't you say?
Like, I was thinking easier.
The new enemy types they've added, for the most part, have been harder.
I feel that they added so many new... it's all about your runs.
Yeah.
You had slightly more negative runs, and I had slightly more positive runs. It's all about your runs. Is co-op easier? It's all about your run. That's all it is.
I would say it's harder, honestly, because you're taking hearts... And that's just like a killer in this game.
Sam doesn't die. She's really good.
Okay. She's better than me.
Maybe it was a good run.
If you just take one heart, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You double your damage for one heart.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is true.
I paused the game. I was like, Chad had died 7 times by this point. She goes, I only died once. and by the way, great game to play with your girl. It's like, I don't play Isaac to beat the game every time. I play it just to play it because it's so much fucking fun. And so if she's joining me, it's just more fun. You know what I mean? I'm not upset that I didn't make it because I probably wouldn't have made it anyway.
But you're having more fun that she's not dying that much. If you played with a girl that
never plays games,
the fact that she's not dying makes it fun for you.
No, for sure.
So.
But, and... You said that maybe it makes it harder, and maybe it does, but I was playing with Chad. I was playing Binding of Isaac with Chad. That's worth not making it. No, so definitely. Let's talk about the run. I got to get this out. Okay. So Chad and I probably played 15 co-op games,
I would say.
And this last one, I was like, dude, we got to get less. One for the recording where we beat the game. So we're trying over and over. And we quit a lot because we were just having bad runs.
We were using Magdalene.
Magdalene? Yeah, sure.
Magdalena? Something like that. I'm not a big fan of, but...
I thought she was the best because she gets the most hearts. So, obviously, it's best for giving one heart up for... anyway, we go through the game. We're getting a ton of hearts. We're getting tons of... It was a great run until... No, it was just a good run up until we got to the last boss, which is the heart, I think.
Yeah, because you've already beaten Mom, so now the heart's unlocked.
Yeah, so I'm down to, like, 3 hearts, and I was like, Chad, come in, do damage, and he's like, no, I think I should stay out. So he stays out.
Because the heart's shooting everywhere.
Yeah, this thing's
fucking
going crazy.
And if you're not paying attention...
And I've never... That was the first time me fighting it, doing those... I've never seen any of that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did fight the heart before, but it wasn't doing any of that shit. So, anyway, so I'm fighting it, and I've got half a heart left. And it's got no visible heart life left. And I fucking kill it. And I was like, yes! And I get my hands off the keyboard. And the last drop of blood she shot at me kills me. And
I was like, chest sitting there.
And the chest, the you beat the game chest appears. It's like, literally, like light from God on it.
Yeah.
And I die. And then I was like, no! And then... Fucking
one of the items.
We had picked up some random item, we didn't know what it did. It gave me one heart. I started
not
with
even
one heart.
A full heart, a half heart.
A half heart.
Give you a half
so
heart.
I'm dead again, basically. But I'm in the room, the prior room. I was like, oh, if she's alive again, it's over. Walk in, she's still dead. And we went, we're gay! Yeah. So like, emotions were all over the place. And hopefully we got audio on that recording because we were fucking like idiots.
So, anyway. So there's more of a reason, or you don't play this game just to beat the game. You can also, like other roguelikes, unlock stuff as you play the game, more characters.
Not only can you, but you do no matter what. You're not trying to unlock things. Things just unlock on their own.
Yeah. It's random. Challenges unlock, new items unlock, new characters unlock.
Yep. So there's so much stuff in this game.
Question for you. For somebody that's never played any of the bindings, would you recommend buying the new one for $15 or buying the old one for four bucks?
I think this game, like I said before, I think this game is better in every way.
I would probably agree with you, but I think, you know, if you only had a couple bucks, go ahead and buy the old one and play it, and you'll probably like it, and eventually you'll probably get the new one.
Well, I would only say that maybe it might get burnt out, because I put in, like I said, 117 hours into the first one. I'm not, there's no way I'm going to put that much time in the second one.
I don't know.
It's just because I've been there so many times, it is fun and it is better, but
the challenges seem more doable this time than last time, don't they?
I really didn't have a lot of trouble with the last ones.
Did you beat all the challenges in the previous one?
No, I can't beat like the last one. That's what I was doing towards
this new orbit one.
That one's hard. Anyway, so there's challenges where they give you. There's so many items, guys. Okay, this is an analogy that might work. Imagine you're playing. This is what a roguelike is, if you don't understand. Imagine every time you played Super Mario Brothers, all the jumps were different. The mobs were in different places, and there's 300 mushrooms that do 300 different things. And they combine to do even more different things.
Yeah.
Every single time. So
that's a great game. Somebody should do that.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is.
No, but I want Super Mario Bros.
Yeah. More side scroller.
Bobby, you want to say anything?
No, I'm good.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about some of your games that you've been playing?
Yeah. I'll bring up The Evil Within. I know it's a little late for that, but I beat it a while ago. And I didn't really want to talk about the game so much, but I wanted to bring up something that happened as a result of that. I posted a few screenshots on my Steam account. Someone was a little upset with me for not marking them as spoilers. On Steam, when you post a screenshot, you can mark it as a spoiler, and for, I think, 30 days, it will black it out, and you have to hover your mouse over to reveal it. I didn't think.
Did he have a legit complaint?
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. I posted screenshots. Most of them were from the end of the game. The one in particular that I think he had the most issue with was of the final boss. And it's just my guy fighting the final boss.
So a picture of the final boss is what you're saying.
A picture of the final boss. Also, there was a screenshot of the main character about to crush a brain. And he didn't care for that one either. But
should you preface what you're talking about with spoilers?
I don't think so. Well, this is what I want to ask you.
This is how you got in trouble the first time.
Well, do you? I didn't really think. It had crossed my mind, but I really didn't think that it was necessary. And I'm not really big on spoilers. You can spoil anything you want for me. I don't care. But
really? Really?
Really, yeah. But here's the thing with spoilers. I feel like information is spoiler worthy. Imagery, visuals, maybe not so much. If you were to tell me in 78 or 79 that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father
before. Spoilers? Gosh.
Oh my God. Wait, he was?
Okay.
But see, that's a piece of information that changes the relationship between the main character and the main villain. You know, that's something that changes the whole game, you know? But to see if you were to leak photos of, hey, this is what the new RoboCop's going to look like in the new movie, or this is the Hulkbuster Iron Man suit, you know, visual images, I don't think are quite as much of a spoiler. But I don't
know.
Did
you just say Hulkbuster Iron Man suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that what they're calling it?
The big are you talking about?
The new Avengers movie?
Oh, I haven't seen the trailer. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's like Iron Man, but he's like the size of the Hulk.
Bulk, yeah, he's like bulked out.
It's crazy.
Wait, so this screenshot that...
Let's bring up the screenshot in question.
That you got called out on spoilers. Does the visual spoil something? Like, is it...
I don't even know what that looks like. It looks like a painting.
So, I guess what I'm saying is...
Body parts?
I guess what I'm saying is, if you show the last boss, and the last boss is, like, your teammate in chapter one, then that's spoiling.
Well, that's another thing, too. The story on this game is not very good. If you read any review on this, it's going to tell you that the story was awful. And it was. Now, there was some stuff that they kind of... They left very vague, and you can draw your own conclusions. Maybe there was a bit of a mystery, but really, everything played out exactly like you thought it would. I mean,
everyone is as smart as you, bro.
There's nothing to figure out here. The final boss is a big, ugly monster, and you got to shoot him to death. I mean, is this really any of a surprise to any of us?
First of all, you're dealing with the internet, man. So, you know,
yeah,
you probably just want to. Ooh, that looks awesome.
Yeah,
that
is a Hulk Buster.
Yeah, looks good.
I mean, I'm not really upset about it. I just thought it'd be an interesting way to bring up the topic of spoilers, because that's something that's very big these days with Twitter and the way that information is leaked so freely. You know, people are very sensitive about spoilers, and what is a spoiler?
I think I'm on your boat as far as you can't really spoil me too much, especially because I don't want to see most things, so it doesn't matter. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and tell me. The only thing is, if something sports related happened, UFC is all I watch.
Yeah,
and like, okay. Yeah, I have it recorded.
The outcome of a match.
Yeah, and it's only for like one day. So that's the only time that I'm very sensitive to spoilers. But people don't even call that spoilers. They don't.
It's funny. Like, I have the NHL app because I'm big into hockey. I have the NHL app on my...
And you have to not touch it, right?
No, but when you go to the different days, if I go back a day, it shows the different... It shows the different games, but with their final scores right there. So, like, I gotta, like, basically try to find the right game by, like, covering up the screen.
Right.
And kind of, like... Because if I know the score, then it's no fun to watch the game.
I stay off my UFC app when there's something I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I kind of...
As far as movies or books or whatever, like, I don't care.
I kind of disagree with you guys. If something is spoiled for me... Then I have no interest in watching it. If you guys tell me the end of a movie, I'm not going to watch the movie, even if it's like,
Dumbledore dies. This is what I was explaining earlier, though, about information versus visuals. You know, if someone spoils the end of the movie, like what happens, I think that's different than if somebody shows you a picture of the end of the movie. Of course, if they show you a picture of it, it could divulge some information. But, you know, this one here, I don't think really reveals anything.
Yeah, there's a picture of the last boss. It's not a big... you were in... You're fine.
Okay.
What was the other one? Can we see the other one?
The other one was... the main character stepping on a brain, which... unless you played the game, you wouldn't know what's happening there.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sure that's the last guy or something.
With the brain?
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Okay. Wait.
He's the brains of the operation?
Yeah.
So, that's why they keep me around here, folks. Yeah.
These pictures aren't making me want to play this game, honestly.
The screenshots didn't turn out very well. There was a lot of motion blur, and I took like five of them. This was the best one. But
I keep trying to take Binding of Isaac screenshots, because... Every run you do, you just look like a fucked up clown or something by the end of it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I still haven't gotten good screen.
This guy's exact phrase is, this is kind of a major spoiler. This is a major
spoiler.
A brain gets stepped on.
If the brain is the equivalent of, you know,
okay,
the last guy.
You kill the big bad boss at the end. Spoiler alert.
Oh, right.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
And someone else said, LOL. See, there's a comment, all right? That's a good comment.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So that's the only thing I wanted to bring up about The Evil Within. Why don't you guys talk about something you played?
I played a bunch of stuff. I guess I can talk about Diablo 3. Can I?
Spoilers.
Can I bring this up?
Yeah.
So I played Diablo 3 when it first came out. I bought it like everybody else did because it's one of the top... selling games of all time.
I believe PC game anyway. Yeah.
Anyways, I started playing a Demon Hunter. I got to level 12 and never played it again.
Right.
The story of Diablo makes me want to punch babies in the face. Like, I can't stand the very concept of this game.
Things are going shitty. Go kill the shitty stuff.
It's like every time you play Diablo, it's just doom and gloom. Like, there's no hope for humanity, and it just gets worse from there. Yeah. You start out hopeless, and it gets worse. And, like, I don't know. Angels and demons, it's just
Nephilim,
like...
Nephilim, right? Is that what they're called?
You are a Nephilim, yeah. Apparently. So, anyways, I played it till level 12, put it down, never played it again.
Right.
But recently, I picked it up again because the expansion came out. I wanted to see if I could get through the game.
Is this the first one?
This is the only expansion that's come out, okay. Right?
I think so.
I forget what it's called, though. Anyways, they did the new class also, Crusader, which was really appealing for me because I'm more of like the healing kind of like armor kind of
heal tank.
Yeah. So Crusader was really appealing to me. Reaper of Souls, that's what it is.
Great cinematic.
So I don't know if it's the class or balancing that they've taken place, but this game was so easy, it borders on the ridiculous. Mm. So I'm playing the standard difficulty because you can ramp up. And here's how easy it is for me. I've never gotten below half health. I've never once used a health pot. Mm. Like, I've never once been remotely in danger. I don't know if it's the Crusader class, but I'm hitting things and just my health chunks back up. Just like, it'll be 90 to 100. Every time I swing, I'm getting 10% of my life back.
And what difficulty are you playing on?
Just the base.
Normal standard one?
Yeah, whatever the base difficulty is.
It's called bitch.
I have 68 health pots because I've never once used a health pot. I've never had the hint of risk in this entire game.
If that's your biggest thing, why not start over at a heart? Or now you're too committed.
Well, I'm almost done with Reaper of Souls, so I'm going to get through the game. But
wait, so you finished the original campaigns already?
Yeah, I killed Diablo.
So would you say the original game?
Sorry, I just ruined it.
Yeah.
You killed Diablo, I'm sorry.
The bad guy dies at the end.
As long as you don't post a screenshot, we're cool.
Damn it. Okay, so... Yeah, you killed Diablo at the end of this. I'm sorry.
Talk to me about what's new in Reaper of Souls.
Here's the thing. I'm using a controller this time, and I don't know if it's the difference between keyboard and controller, but it's so much better to me. Like, the controller is night and day difference between keyboard and mouse. Mm. So I'm using a controller. The class is awesome. I love the Crusader class. I'm just having so much more fun with this class than the other class. So I went through the whole game. Like, it wasn't a chore at all. Like, I'm having fun playing. So
no matter, even though it was super easy, it was fun?
Yeah, because cool. I'm not... normally, I'm a completionist. I like to see the whole map, make sure I've hit everything. This one, I'm just kind of going through and just kind of progressing the story and just having fun. And, like, normally, like, you get fall behind, you're not getting enough XP.
And then that's when you farm.
I'm not once I've had to worry about that at all. I'm just going through the story. I really like how the skills are set up for this game. I think they did a really good job on how you just start unlocking things. And then, so you start unlocking skills.
You have a skill tree.
It's not a skill tree.
Oh.
There's no skill tree. So you have like six buttons, basically, six abilities. And each ability has four different ones, and they unlock in time based on your level. So at level 25 or whatever, maybe you unlock the second ability for your X button or whatever. Your like main attack button.
Right.
So
the big selling point on this is you can respec anytime you want.
Yeah. Once you can't respec in a boss. I've tried before. You can't respec in a boss, but any other time you can.
Which is pretty cool. No other game is like that.
Yeah. So, like, your main attack. So, for Crusader, my main attack, I can do just, like a shield block thing, and every time I hit, it gives me shield block. Or I can do one that kind of swipes and can hit multiple targets. Or I can do one at range. Or I can do one, like, that throws a hammer and hits multiple people. So, that's kind of like your basic attack. So, you can do however you want. But then... each of those attacks have like up to six different modifiers on them. So it's really like how you want to play it. Mm-hmm. So I like the range attack, basically. So I'm playing it like a mage, but I've got like armor.
Right. Battle mage.
It's kind of like a battle mage.
Whatever you want to do.
But you could also do like the heavy tank one where you only do close range, but it gives you shield block every time you hit. So I really like how it's done with the skills. I'm not sure why. I really think it's the class that I was playing last time that I was just not having fun. So
no, the game has... every time they patch it, this game transforms.
Really?
Huge... huge game-changing things have been done several times since launch.
I think they completely got rid of the auction house now, right?
Yeah, the auction house is gone.
Which I hated. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't play the game, so...
Well, they got their money out of the auction house, and then they closed it down. It's like a...
For me, it took the fun out of the game. The fun is, let's see what drops.
Yeah.
And the auction house is, let me go get better shit that could ever drop.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of drops, how are those now, too? Because when the last time I played this game must have been over a year ago. And so much trash for drops. Like, you just had to wade through the trash. You would kill people and get, like...
But I like this game compared to, like, Diablo 2. So when you pick up items, you can push a button, and it will kind of show you the item, and will give you kind of a basic... It'll give you like an up or down arrow for an offense, an up or down arrow for defense, and an up and down arrow for basically abilities. So you can kind of get a quick readout, and it'll show you compared to the item you currently have equipped, and you can just junk it right there. So if you push the button, you can just junk through all the items you picked up, and then when you go back to your like base or whatever, you can just junk all those items right off the bat. So it's nice. It's a loot pinata, right? There's a lot of loot that just drops, and it's just a... But you can go through that loot pinata really quickly. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Better than Borderlands. Where you have to actually deal with...
Yes, much better than Borderlands.
Yeah.
The other thing is...
You've done like a 180 on this game.
I hated this game when it first came out. Like I said, I got to level 12. I couldn't stand this game. This game was no fun for me. So, either they've put in a lot of improvements to change my mind, or the Crusader class was right
up
my alley.
It's probably a combination of both.
So if you haven't played this game, I wouldn't recommend buying it at full price, but if you can get it, you know, for 10-15 bucks, I'm all
10,
for it.
15 bucks? I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
I think I've seen Blizzard have a sale once.
The other thing, like, Diablo used to be a random generated dungeon system, right?
It still is, but it has the basic... There's a basic outline that it sticks to.
Really? It doesn't seem like it could be random with the level of graphics and how things are...
No, it's random, yeah. But it's like we were talking about Risk of Rain, where there's chunks that they stick to, and just the chunks are put together differently.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Bobby and Emilio, you guys played this when it came out?
I played it time all the way through, and then I was done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bobby, the auction house really like kind of broke my heart.
I've played it, I think I've beaten the game twice. I played it when it initially came out, and I hate dungeon crawlers, so don't even look to me for an opinion on this.
So the other thing that's weird on this game, I don't know if it's weird, but you basically do your primary attack 90% of the time, at least for me. And then you use your other abilities.
Well, a mage wouldn't be like that, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you use your other abilities during bosses or other stuff. Yeah. Like, they all have cooldowns, basically. Right. Almost all of them have cooldowns. So you end up just holding your primary attack button down a whole bunch. So you'd think it would get boring, and it kind of does sometimes, but the way I'm playing it, where I'm just basically going through the game instead of, like, searching, is making it diverse enough that I'm not bored doing it. But if I was a completionist trying to go through everything, I would be bored, honestly, of holding down the primary attack the whole time.
It probably does make a big difference if you're... Because every time I play these games, I go around the entire border, and then I fucking... Anything that has Fog of War, I go through and make sure I didn't miss anything. And that probably takes away from the overall experience.
So, the first map, I did that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I just want to get through the... Yeah. Let me just get through the game. I want to see the story. I want to see what's going on. So if I could turn my brain up... And it's hard for me because I like doing that.
Yeah, right.
So if I can get my... Once I got my brain around that, it's a little more relaxing, a little more fun.
Maybe, besides those other two options, maybe it's also the way you're playing.
Yeah,
that's true. That changed your opinion.
It's true. I kind of want to play this with somebody, but... You know, maybe
if only you had a game playing roommate.
Yeah, seriously, I need to get one of those.
I'm gonna only talk about this for a couple minutes because that's all it deserves. Crypto Necro Dancer, I kind of gave it a scathing review. I like it better now that I've actually played it more. So all the upgrades that you buy at any game, at any point, you keep for every game after that. So you're even though I'm dying constantly, you are progressing. You buy things with diamonds and you get maybe one or two per level. I rarely pass the first level. That's how hard this is for me.
So it's kind of like a roguelite.
It is a roguelite.
Okay.
And that's why I'm starting to like it more. And I really see myself, like, remember how Binding of Isaac, I only have 5 minutes? I totally see myself jumping into this as the most casual game I have on my...
Let's be honest, though. If you got 10 minutes to spend, you're going to play Binding of Isaac Rebirth over Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Well, yeah, I came up with that before that came out. So, yeah.
Okay.
And so...
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
It's on Necrodancer. Okay.
Should we go into news?
Well, I don't know. You think we got time for a little more of what we're playing?
Sure.
I don't know. What else do you want to talk about?
You know what? I'll bring up Road Redemption.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about this game. I kind of want to
keep talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in early access. I'm getting so tired of early access these days. If you've played Road Rash, which a lot of people have if you're around our age.
So, Road Rash, you play kind of a biker gang? Is that kind of how it works?
You are a motorcyclist, and it looks like you're standard racing game, except you kick and punch and beat up other people on their motorcycles in order to win. And it was great. Road Rash was a great game on Game Gear, Sega Genesis back in the day. And they really took it and just expanded on all the things that made it fun in this game. They made it more about the combat than they did about the racing. They have a skill tree. It's, again, like so many other games, it has roguelike elements where you play through and you get as far as you can, and then at the end of that run you have XP that you can then spend on permanent upgrades. But they are constantly, in the original Road Rash you don't get weapons as much, but in this game they are constantly showering you with guns, melee objects, grenade launchers, like a battle axe, like just ridiculous stuff that just is so cool. Like, all these cool ideas you had for the original Road Rash, like, wouldn't it be cool if they put this weapon in? Well, they put it in there. And you play these different maps, and they have specific objectives. So it's not always just win the race. It's take out 8 guys, or take out guys, but only do it by grabbing them and kicking them. No weapons. They have one level that's really good. It's on rooftops, and they give you a harpoon, so you can slingshot yourself around these rooftops, and it's a lot of fun. The physics in this game is really where it shines. It just has such a good feel to it, and they don't make the racing too hard. The handling is so easy, and I think that's to make it more about the combat. And it looks good, too. This game's on the Unreal 4 engine, I believe.
I was just going to say the graphics look terrible, but...
No, we're watching a YouTube video on low resolution, but it looks... very smooth, I've noticed, on my computer. And the graphics are, you know, they're decent. Like, they're pretty good for being on the Unreal 4 engine. It's an early access game, so, of course, it's very limited. There's no multiplayer yet. And after about 7 hours of playing this, I think I've exhausted every single option. Like, I've maxed out the talent tree. I've gotten most of the achievements. And the maps get very repetitive. The soundtrack is interesting on this. It is so random. One track you're playing and they've got some sort of like epic song, sounds like you're in a sword battle. Next one's kind of got, I don't know, a little like electronic groove. Then they got like a rock one.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Not necessarily. I mean, the music doesn't really make too much of a difference for me. I mean, this is the kind of game that you can put your own music onto anyway. It's not really that necessary.
Who's the developer on this?
Let's see.
It seems like some guy that really liked Road Rash.
Yeah. Darkseas Interactive, the Fish Brothers. It's an early access. It's being made by a very small amount of people. But I really like how they just made the focus about the combat. That's what was so fun about the original Road Rash. It wasn't necessarily racing or anything. But I feel like they really needed more, I don't know, story or personality to it. You don't even see your character. You can't customize him in any way. Well, except for the Halloween update with the pumpkin head. But you can't customize your bike, your character, or anything. There's no gangs. Do you remember in... Did you guys play the original Road Rash or the PS3 version?
No.
Okay. Well, they had gangs, and like some of them were like the leather guys that wore like leather and chains, and then some of them were like, I don't know, the like they were on their little crotch rockets, and they had more of like that spandex look to them. You know, it had more characterization, and there was always this girl, Natasha, and she would like talk shit to you after each race. You know, there was a little bit of a relationship with the characters there that made it feel good. But this doesn't really have that, and it's an early access. Maybe that'll come later, but I don't know. I've kind of given hope on early access games.
Like I said, like I keep saying, it's like you get in, you play, even though it's early access, you get the gist of it, and then you have the fun of it. And then what's going to bring you back after you already spent the money? They're going to have to do something, because you put in 7 hours. Could you imagine driving around for another 7 hours? What's that going to take? It's nothing. There's nothing that's going to get you to play another 7 hours.
Multiplayer, possibly. Uh-huh. And I've been hearing the multiplayer promise a lot, and I've kind of given up hope. But I did hear The Forest is getting multiplayer tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so apparently it does happen. Dreams do come true.
What? How much did you pay for this one?
It retails for $19.99, which is way too much for it. I mean, early access tend to be a little overpriced because you're supporting the development of the game. But I didn't pay that much.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good game. If you loved Road Rash, you're going to love this game. It is a lot of fun. And I just had a friend over here today, and I asked him, hey, did you ever play Road Rash? He said, yeah. I said, all right, you got to check this game out. And we played a little bit of it, and he had a hell of a time with it. Like, it is fun. It has a good feel to it. Like, you feel like you're clubbing people over the head. Like, it's a very satisfying hit when you finally knock someone off their bike. And those harpoons, like, slingshotting yourself around, like, the physics is just great. Did you guys ever play Turbo Dismount? That game where you just... You build random stuff and totally you drive off ramps.
I do that off of most of the hookers that fly.
Okay, well, Turbo Dismount was just a game where you build, like, some random car and you just fling it off of shit. You know, it's like a physics game. And that's kind of what this was like in a few ways. But I did enjoy it. I may go back to it when there's multiplayer, but I may pull it out. You know, maybe even after the podcast tonight, I'll load it up just so you guys can get a feel to it.
I've been thinking about this more and more lately because we play so many games lately. I think... maybe because we're jumping from this to that to this to that so quickly now, and we don't really get to the meat of the game these days, that something that you could just start playing and is immediately fun, just it really rises to the top for me lately. I'm really looking for the fun immediately and throughout. Isn't that what every game should be aspire to?
I don't know. There's some games where they build up and it has a big payoff at the end, and that's okay if that's the kind of game that you want. And there's some games like these where if you have a friend come over, you can load it up real quick, play a few rounds, you know, show it off, and that can be it. You know, you can just pick up and go. But I don't think every game has to follow one format or one of those formats.
I agree.
You know, you wouldn't say that fun from beginning to end is the best option?
I think it's like anything else. Like, if you watch a movie, some movies are fun beginning to end, and some are slow build-ups, but the payoff is worth it. Yeah. As long as the payoff is worth it, then, you know, like, I'll sit down and play a 15-hour game, you know, that has, you know, like, an RPG or whatever. It starts off slow. You start building up items on your guy. The more the story is developed. We just don't have time a lot of times to be playing those kind of games.
It's true. Maybe my opinion has changed because the way we play games now. And also, what a shining light I'll talk about it next week, but what a shining light Call of Duty 4, or I mean Advanced Warfare was for me.
I really think fun for fun's sake. I think the other thing that maybe is going on a lot in gaming is just the how many games are coming out. You know, they've started to figure out what gamers like and are starting to cater to that. And now it's getting to the point where there's so many games coming out. Like, if you follow games, you just have a hard time. I couldn't imagine playing WoW at this point in my life because I can't devote that many hours to it. Like, yeah. I couldn't devote that many hours to any game right now.
This is what, and the culmination of everything you're just saying is Overwatch, I think.
Should we get into news then?
That's what I'm trying to do without you doing that.
Wait, can I say it? Segway. Okay, go.
So, Overwatch, what they were trying to do, this is Blizzard's new IP.
Because BlizzCon just came out.
Yeah, and it's still going on, actually. Still going. I think day three is right today. It might be over now. Anyway, so Overwatch is... it has a lot of the resources that they put into Titan. We talked about it last week, I think, where they canceled Titan. And they use a lot of those resources and the research that they had done on Titan. And they put it into Overwatch, which is... I think I said it maybe two or three episodes ago that 2015 is going to be the year of the arena shooter. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to call them. They're first-person shooters. They're character-based. They're not MOBAs. So I'm just going to call them, for until somebody else names it that's official, I'm going to call them arena shooters. Team arena shooters. T-A-S. TAS. T-A-S.
Horrible. But go ahead.
Okay. So you have a bunch of different characters. You have a bunch of MOBA-esque characters in a first-person shooter without minions, but some sort of task. And so that's what Overwatch is, but it's coming from Blizzard. And that's...
But you would say Team Fortress 2 kind of is that same
style. I would say this is a combination between Team Fortress 2 and Smite. I would say that's the exact thing they're going for. And the reason that I said there's so many gamers and they're finding how to... What Blizzard said that they're trying to do is no matter what kind of gamer you are, there's a character in Overwatch for you. So if you're the strategy guy, there's going to be a strategy type. If you're a Twitch shooter, if you're a rogue player, there's going to be a character that you're going to be... even when we're watching the trailer earlier today... Chad's like, oh, there's my guy. And it was the, like, tanky healy.
A lot of melee.
Yeah. And so I think I've
been watching that. You make it sound like it's going to be a strategy game and a first-person shooter and a MOBA and, like, all this shit wrapped into one.
I think that's what they're going for.
I don't know if they're going for multiple gameplay styles, but different...
That's what they said they were going
different
for.
Styles to play the same game. So,
right, ultimately... It's a...
It's a first-person shooter.
Ultimately, yeah. And it's a payload map. So you're trying to progress your cart. I don't know what it is. But you're trying to progress something.
You're trying to move some objective to...
Yeah, and they cross each other, just like a payload map in TF2.
And that's every single map, or do they have different modes?
I'm sure they're going to have different modes.
Yeah, I think so.
But for example, there was the turret guy that just made turrets.
He's a robot, and he turned himself into a turret. Oh, you mean the other guy, the engineer.
There's also that guy. So there's a turret guy that turns into a turret. Right. So he does stationary with a shield.
Right.
So if you want to just protect points, and that's the kind of way
area
you play.
Denial. Yeah. Let's call it what it is. It's TF2 with, like I said, like Smite. You get three different abilities, and one's your ultimate, but you have to level up and get to it. Right.
Is there leveling up in this game?
In a way, the way I understand it is, you do have to level up to get to your ultimate. But you can switch classes at any point, but you lose half of your experience that you have accumulated. This sounds kind of weird, but it also sounds as the best thing about this game is as your strategy... Okay, we're losing. We need to switch to defense. So two of our guys switch to defensive roles and now are protecting the cart. And they can do that because they have the freedom to do that. They're not locked into... this jungler, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, let's say, You know how you said in Han that the picking phase was your favorite part when you're watching it? Imagine the picking phase is going on during the match to counter whatever is going on in the match. I mean, that's as in its appeal, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I don't think I like that, though, and here's why. If you have people leveling up and they have to change their character halfway through and lose XP, you got a lot of stuff changing. What do you do about people who join the game? Can you join mid-game? And what do you do about balancing? Are you going to have everybody... are you going to need to have a balanced team? You know, in Smite, you have to have a tank, you have to have a jungle, you have to have a mid, you have to have all these positions picked out. Team Fortress 2, you pick up and go. You hop in and you just kind of fill out the team and round it out as best you can. And it really doesn't matter. Everybody's just having fun.
This is all speculation here.
Yeah.
I think it's a 6-on-6. So it's not like, I think it's going to be a pre, you know, we have six, they have six, let's go. If somebody drops out, then you're just going to have a leaver. I don't think there's going to be coming and going. That's just guessing. Because it's 6-on-6.
Well, if it's 6-on-6 and there's leveling up involved, then, yeah, you would think that they would lock people into the game and nobody else can join. But look what happened to Super Monday Night Combat. I mean, that literally killed that game. Because you would have leavers, you would have grievers, you would have all these issues, and you can never get a good, solid game in. You know, you have to really...
Yeah, but this is Blizzard. They're going to have millions of people playing this game. Right? Like...
Hopefully it's a free-to-play. I really hope it's free-to-play.
Yeah, they haven't discussed a price point. Yeah.
Well, recently they've been shown to have a willingness to have a free-to-play model. I mean, Hearthstone.
Right, Hearthstone. And it's super, uber successful. They were talking about on BlizzCon that it far exceeded their expectations. So, you know, they're making a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So that's good. So but they're probably going to go with free-to-play.
If you do go with free-to-play, you got your own set of problems with that as well. I mean, that means everybody can play, which is both a good and bad thing. You're going to get...
Mr. Shutdown, everybody.
Well, Bobby's already...
Oh, it's free... Bullshit.
No, I would love to see this be more like Team Fortress 2 than to be more like a MOBA. I don't want to see this be a MOBA. Like, I really don't.
I'm just not seeing a whole lot of diversity and, like, ingenuity in this game.
I don't think it's ingenuity so much as inspiration from everything else. You know what I mean? Everything else, it seems like they're getting everything that's popular and putting it into one game. And they... From what I've seen from everybody, Bethesda's doing this, Gearbox is doing this, I think there's one more, Giant is coming out, and they're all trying to do this kind of thing. This one looks the most promising to me. But then again, anything flashy and has shiny lights, I'm cool.
And it's Blizzard, so you know they're going to do it well.
Yeah, they do it well.
Do they have a release date for this game yet?
I did not see that either.
Anything close. I did like the look of this game. After watching the gameplay trailer, I really got a little excited. And I usually don't look forward to a lot of games, but this one has piqued my interest.
I saw his eyebrow raise.
Yeah.
It made
ever so slightly
sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the idea, I think we need another TF2. We need a good team-based shooter.
Fuck.
We don't need another MOBA, though.
You know how most industries are a copycat industry. Something is a smash hit. Everybody copies that. TF2 is one of the biggest smash hits ever. Nobody copied it. It took them like 3 years. How long?
I mean, there's a ton of class-based shooters. It's not like...
Nobody did it right.
Until
it looks like now people are...
I mean, even games like Call of Duty where you can pick like assault or support or...
They're not as diverse though.
It's true, but like they're all class-based shooters. Yeah. There's no such thing as just a straight shooter anymore. There's like even Counter-Strike kind of. There's none that you just... Everybody starts out the same and it's the weapons you pick up.
It's funny that you mentioned it.
It's pretty much Counter-Strike is the only one, right?
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
Well, speaking of too many MOBAs, do we want to bring up Dawngate getting canceled?
I'm surprised about this.
You can speak the most on this.
So, Dawngate, it's through EA. It's like a big publisher. Yeah. It's very put together at this point.
Polished.
Alpha and beta, we're going smooth. The game looks like it's done already.
I thought it was the prettiest MOBA I've ever seen. Oh, a top-down MOBA.
I'm confused on where the canceling is happening because it's already, like, done. The game's done. I don't understand why.
Going back to when we talked about Heroes of the Storm quite a while ago, I was really trying to push the point that what's this Albert's point back? Well, the game is okay. Here's the official statement: although the game has grown, we're not seeing the progress we'd hoped for. This isn't the outcome we wanted, but beta testing is about learning and improving, and ultimately about making difficult decisions about how to proceed. All right, this kind of actually proves my point. When we talked about Heroes of the Storm, I said it doesn't matter that it's easy. It matters that it's different. We don't need another MOBA with a WoW skin. We need something completely different. And Dawngate was just another MOBA. There was nothing different. I mean, if you want to get down to the details of it, sure, we could pick it apart and say, okay, this is a little different from Dota and League. But essentially, this game is a clone of League and Dota, and we don't need another one. It's not about how good the game is, it's about your user base, and you got to build up that community. League and Dota already have that. You bring in Dawngate and say, hey, look, this one's just like the others, but it's prettier. Nobody's going to switch. They're already invested in their separate MOBAs. So I'm not surprised by this.
MMOs. People, it's so hard to pull somebody away from their MMO. They're so invested.
And we know that about MMOs because they've been out for over a decade, and we've seen so many fail. But MOBAs, everybody thinks they can just hop in and get a piece of the pie. So right. I'm not surprised by this at all. And
at least Mike came in with something new. And they're getting their piece of the pie.
I'm just surprised because the game was done. Honestly, like, it only had like 12 characters.
Nobody wanted
characters
to play it, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think anybody was playing this game.
Yeah,
that's probably what it came down to, honestly.
I think what they're saying is, you know, the quote is, we were not seeing the progress we hoped for. I think that's a direct diss on the developer. I think what they're saying is the developer wasn't coming through with what they said they would come through, so we're canceling.
Well, what do they mean by progress? That could be a lot of things. That's a very vague statement. But
I was surprised on how slowly they were coming out with characters and all. Because what, Smite does it, what, every 2 weeks? Every three weeks?
Yeah. But they're actually making money. Dawngate probably hasn't made a dollar.
Still, like, I played for a month and didn't see a new character on this game. And, like, you need characters in a MOBA to make it
your game. But you are right. It was a playable game, right?
Yeah. Very clean, very smooth.
Why not just release it and see what happens?
I thought some of the changes that they were doing to the... They did a two... The big thing was their two-lane setup instead of a three-lane setup.
Right.
And they also had the ways to influence how much gold gain was being earned.
Trickle.
Yeah, the trickle, how much trickle you were doing. So they were doing some new stuff with the map. It just, I guess, was not enough. And a big company like EA can eat the cost of this. You know, it's just one of the things that happen.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Oh. Yeah, I'm working on it.
All right.
All right, so we got also Hearthstone, new expansion.
Yeah, so I guess it's goblins versus gnomes is what they're going for.
Okay.
And I thought it was pretty cool that the, I guess the mechanical ones, there's a new type of card, which is Mecha or something like that. And some of the old classes are actually being... old cards are being put into that class type, which is the Larmobot and the... there's another... Oh, the one that falls apart and a new one comes up. It's a Harvest Golem.
Harvest Golem.
Yeah. So those are now Mecha or whatever. I might get it to go completely wrong. But anyway, they're modular. Remember when Magic did this?
Mm.
And you could like play other things to give them abilities and stuff? So all this Mecha stuff, you could like, like I said, modular. You could take things off, put on other ones, buff this one, debuff that one, and move things around. So I've heard nothing but good things about this expansion.
Is it going to be pay for again?
It's nothing like the other. It's a hard expansion. Like, I believe the only way you can get cards is just buying packs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I prefer, I think. I think too much time and money went into that other thing.
So we pretty much all have stopped playing Hearthstone. Right?
We're all stuck.
Does this make you want to play it again?
Okay, so in a vacuum, yes, I would totally go back. With the podcast, I don't have the time now. Because I know if I get back into Hearthstone and it looks great, I'm going to be playing
7 hours a week. And I'd rather put that into new games that I could talk to you about.
Yeah. Mm.
I heard an interesting stat the other day, and I don't know how accurate this is, but they were saying that 10% of all Hearthstone players were bots. Apparently, bots have gotten pretty rampant.
Really?
They took care... what did they do? They banned something like 100,000 players or something for botting. So
that, yeah, they've been cracking
on it. But that's... I think... and the more and more... expansions that come out and new cards that fucks every time you do that, it fucks up the bots because it fucks up all the algorithms that they use mm-hmm. to play and stuff, which is good. That's another reason why you should be doing this. They'll sort it out. They're Blizzard. They do these things.
Why? I'm just confused on why you would bot. You can't trade cards, so what? Like, you're not gonna make money doing anything.
Yeah,
that's... if you're botting, you can get a bunch of gold.
And for that what? For that account.
And then what?
Yeah, for well, just
what's
that
the
account.
End game?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a discussion for another time. We could get deep into that, but let's talk about Ubisoft. They pulled Far Cry 4 and Assassin's Creed Unity.
They pulled everything that hasn't been out or hasn't been released, but was it like pre-sale or stuff like that.
They all pulled the it were... off of Steam and then quickly put it back on Steam.
Yeah, I would say 4 or 5 days. And obviously, this is all negotiations.
They were getting a lot of hate, internet hate. For
yeah, I think everybody is... I mean, first of all, PC gamers do not like Ubisoft to begin with for a lot of reasons. And the fact that they were going to take this and put it on Uplay, which we all hate, was just like the final... like, people would have boycotted this game. It would have gotten ugly, but I'm glad it's back on Steam. I was wondering how they're going to work out the pre-purchases, because you can already pre-purchase on Steam, but I don't know. Thank God it's back, and hopefully no more of that bullshit.
Yeah. I heard that somebody worked it out. I think it was Evan Lottie worked out that they would have to work... they would have to sell 70% more title... they would have to sell 70% more on Uplay if they didn't go on Steam to make up for what they would lose. 70%.
Wow.
Almost double.
Wow.
So, I mean, come on, guys. Hmm. Obviously, you wanted 0.1% more out of your deal out of Steam. Steam said, we have a standard deal that we do everybody from indie to Ubisoft. Everybody gets the same deal. We're not going to change. You know, it was a bargaining chip. Oh, yeah. We're just going to pull it. And then they saw this backlash, and they, you know, this is all conjecture, but that's the way I see it going. They were trying to do a bargaining chip, and it failed. It was a bluff, a failed bluff.
Is that what you guys...
That's the way I look at it. I haven't read anything about it, but that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
It's funny that Ubisoft gets hate, because they come out with good games.
No, for sure, but they're console-centric.
Yeah.
And that's why they...
Yeah, they're highly... I mean, they've actually got some criticism from console gamers, too, with Assassin's Creed Unity only being in 1600 by 900 resolution with 30 frames a second, which is pretty limited. And, of course, they had some bullshit statement kind of clarifying why they did that. But everybody knew that it wasn't that reason. A lot of people are thinking that it's because a year later after the console release, they're already hitting a performance wall.
Hmm. So, well, let's talk about a PC win for finally... Yes, we had to wait 1 year for Grand Theft Auto V, but man, is it coming down with some cool stuff. There's some extra content. There's a first-person mode, which the biggest problem with Grand Theft Auto is that clunky third-person controls.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to play one in first-person and actually shoot people in the head that I'm actually aiming at, and there's no aim assist. That's going to be great. And this doesn't apply to me because I'm not one of the 1%, but 4K resolution. And so for those people, Bobby, that's going to be playing 4K by the time this comes out, probably. Bobby's on 8K.
Yeah,
or something. But
still at 1080p, man. Yeah. I got to upgrade that monitor.
So you guys are picking this up when it comes out?
Oh, fuck yes. Day one.
Okay.
I'm not a huge GTA fan. Like Vice City is really the only one I've played extensively. So, I don't know. I'm not going to rush to get it. I probably will eventually get it just to see what all the big deal is about. But, Yeah, I think more games are going to have to support 4K. I mean, that's the next big thing.
Yeah, agreed.
If you can, you should. If you're a AAA title, I would say AAA titles should have the option.
Okay.
But again, even on those, 5% of the people are going to actually use it.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, should we roll into listener questions?
Sure. Sites, I believe, was... I believe his text to me or his messenger on Steam was, ha ha ha, watching this funny cunt, forgot who it was. And then he goes, who are your guys' favorite comedians? So I go, okay, I'll put that into this listener questions.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chad.
This is just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
The last ones that I've seen that I've liked, Louis C.K., I like his stand-up, I hate his show. So, I mean...
I think he's the most prolific and probably the best generation comic, working comic now.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
It's weird because his comedy's kind of changed over from where he started. Like
he sucked.
Like, he was married and now he's single, so he's like talking about different things, but he's very on point.
Yeah, and somehow he's a ginger and he's Mexican.
Is he? Yeah. He's Mexican?
Louis C.K. is Mexican, yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
True.
That's funny.
Yeah. We fucked everybody.
How about you guys? What do you guys?
I don't know. It's hard for me to pick just one. I have been listening to a lot of Marc Maron lately.
I don't know him.
You know what? Again, like these comics, they change a lot throughout their career. And he used to be very cynical, but now he's, I don't know, a little less.
Very negative comic.
Right up Bobby's alley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But his last, he's got a podcast, What the Fuck with Marc Maron.
What the Fuck, yeah.
And it's pretty good, but like Joe Rogan, his podcasts are like 2-3 hours long, and I just can't do that. Like, I'm an hour format kind of guy, and I do listen occasionally depending on the guest, but his last stand-up, I think it was called Thinky Pain, but it was kind of more of a conversational format, more like a podcast than an actual stand-up, but I really enjoyed that. Thought it was great.
The other one that... I know this is cliche.
Tosh, right?
Tosh, yeah. Like his show, I only like the first 10 minutes. Like, yeah. I don't like the other. But when he's doing the video and making comments about him, it fucking hilarious.
Have you seen his stand-up?
Yeah, stand-up's good too.
Yeah.
He kind of takes some risks sometimes, so sometimes they don't always pay off, but he's pretty funny. And like old school, like Eddie Murphy's Delirious. Is pretty much
the funniest thing.
One of the top.
I liked Raw better.
Okay. However, whichever one you want. Like
80s, early 80s Eddie Murphy is what we're saying.
Yeah. Like any of those is
Delirious is the funniest thing I think has ever been put on film.
Yeah.
I probably watched the most comedy here, I would say.
Oh, the other one's Cat Williams.
Oh, yeah. When he's on.
Oh, when he's doing the four blunts in rotation. God, I was fucking... It's some of the best. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Louis C.K. is probably the best working guy. Tosh, yeah. And I would say that maybe somebody you haven't listened to that's really good is Jim Jefferies. Really offensive, really funny, poignant stuff. He has a show now, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they canceled it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it had the dude from Cheers on it, Cliff.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
That's all I can think of off the top of my head. Delirious, Bigger and Blacker by Chris Rock is one of the best ever.
I'm not a huge Chris Rock fan.
That one, though. That one is good.
What's the dude that was on the guy that always is drinking whiskey and smoking cigars that was on
White, something White.
Ron White. Yeah.
He's good. I like him sometimes.
I like, he goes, my mom kept saying, drink more water. You'll eat less. Drink more water. You'll eat less. I drank more water. I was less thirsty. Just as I suspected.
Dude, it's so hard to like, tell someone a joke you heard like from stand-up comedy. Cause I feel like I never do it quite right. And, you know, as much as I love comedy, I never go to live shows. Like
I can't stand going to live shows.
I'm always afraid I'm going to get crowded.
I can't stand. Like, I get embarrassed. Like, I get like...
Really?
Wow. I've been to a few and they're hilarious. I saw Aziz Ansari about a year ago and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that guy's good.
But I like sitting way in the back and like laughing. And I like being watching it on TV. If you're in like the front row, then you're going to get crowd worked or something. And like, I don't want to be, I'm not the conversational type.
Terrible, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Wow.
Like, we have a lot of comedy clubs down here in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, we got one just right down the street here.
Yeah.
And I get offers all the time to go to them. And,
yeah.
And
my buddy owns American Comic Con.
I can't do it.
Yeah, and I never hit him up for tickets. But not because I'm afraid of being talked to. You fucking weirdo.
No, it's just embarrassing. Like, the whole situation for me.
What do you do, sir? I have a podcast.
Well, that's how crowd working works. They go like, oh, what's your name? Bobby? Hey, my name's Bobby. And everyone's like, ah, oh, fuck you. You know, it's like, what?
I guess.
No, but comedy in person, like in a live show, is so much funnier than on TV. Like, you will laugh so much more.
Yeah, because it's the social aspect of it.
Yeah, because everyone else is around you having a good time.
I disagree. I watched Louis C.K. in concert, live once, and I liked his stand-up on television better than his live one. Because the live one, like, they're trying new stuff out, and some work, some don't. Like, I feel like the TV...
Well, if they're workshopping, specials. Like, if you go see them, like, if they're doing a big show, like, if they're on tour, then you know you're getting the gold material. Yeah. But if, you know, they're doing a small thing at, like, a local comedy club, they may be workshopping jokes, and you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I guess I got to mention Joe Rogan, but not so much because he's the funniest, but so much as he talks about subjects that I really enjoy. So, like, you know, he's the one making jokes about... the Large Hadron Collider and shit like that. And so that shit just makes me funny. Makes me laugh. He said he's tired. He almost quit doing commentary for the UFC because he was not afraid that Brock Lesnar was going to rape him, but Brock Lesnar was going to rape him and then use him as a condom for the next guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you guys a Dane Cook fan or are you guys not?
The first time around, obviously, but when he was stealing jokes, he was really good. He stole like so much jokes from Louis C.K.
Dan Cook is like Call of Duty. Like, he was really popular, and then all of a sudden, everybody loves to hate on him.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out that he was a joke thief. So you know, a lot of
who's the Mexican dude that had the show?
Oh yeah, Mencia. Another joke thief. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
I loved him. I thought he was the best ever until I found out
he was the worst, dude. I didn't even like his material when he was popular or his show.
You're Mexican, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I live in San Diego, so I got all the jokes. Yeah. All right, so let's wrap this up, shall we?
Should we talk about what we're playing next week?
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by wrapping it up.
Oh, gotcha. Well, so
Segway.
Lords of the Fallen, I played this week. I'm going to review next week, so if you're interested... Lords of the Fallen, I'm doing.
Yep.
When does the new WoW expansion come out? Is that this next week or is it the week after?
Nobody cares.
The 13th, I believe, is when it comes out. So I will be playing that, obviously, when that comes out.
Did you already buy it?
Yeah, it's bought.
It's sitting there on the shelf.
I got my level 90.
Panda?
No, Panda. I haven't spent it yet. I've got a free level 90. I just haven't spent it yet. And I got a bunch of other games that I played this week that I'll talk about next week.
Cool. I'm really interested in what you thought of Hotline Miami.
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Cool. I played Legend of Grimrock 2. I just started Call of Duty. I'm really liking it. I'm going to talk about that next week. And I think that's about it for me.
You're going to play more Civ though, right?
I want to beat the game at least once. Okay. Yeah.
I've got a lot. I have been playing a lot already, and I'm going to continue. I've been buying so many games. Shout out to Stoner Smurf, if he's listening. He's turned me on to this website, steamtrades.com, where I've been able to get games for pretty cheap just by trading TF2 keys. But it's kind of bad that I can get these games so cheap now because I've just been buying way too many, way more than I can play. But I picked
you
up...
You already had way more than
I know. I do that anyway, but now it's gotten even worse. But I picked up Depth, which is the Divers vs. Sharks asymmetric shooter. Be checking that out. I got Titanfall, finally. I played a little bit of it, and I actually really like it. So we'll see if that continues. And also, Abyssal Odyssey. It's by one of these developers that I really like, Ace. They made Rock of Ages, Xenoclash 1 and 2. Very weird out there kind of design in all their games. And I played a little bit of that and really liked that too. Just so many games that have just been piling up. Nice. I don't know which ones I'm going
to
pick.
It's a great time to be a gamer, huh?
Yeah. And I'm going to tell everybody how much I hate space-based DF9 next week too. I was going to do that this week, but we'll put it off.
Also, Bobby, I don't think you know, but the guys who made Dragonfall is the end of the name of the expansion. What's the original game?
Shadowrun Returns.
Shadowrun, yeah. They're coming out with a new game, and it's called Necropolis.
Already a new game?
Yeah. And it seems it's all in the same style, I believe, and the new story and everything.
I mean, I also got to play Dragonfall Shadowrun Returns.
And I got to play
the director's cut, right?
Yeah, the director's cut. So yeah. That is a solid game.
Cool.
All right. That's going to about do it. I don't think we got any announcements. Oh, 500 members.
Yes.
Yeah, week number two.
Okay. It'll get done. Sooner rather than
on our website, we have pictures of all the items posted there, but then Chad is going to post something in the discussion forums.
We're going to give him another details. Week.
Help me out, fellas. I can't do everything myself. I need you guys to pick
up
a little bit of the slack.
The last thing you need to do is post something in the discussion thread forum. We've literally done everything else.
Yeah. Well,
but go to our website, dlgaming.net, and you'll see a link for the PAX Swag Pack. I got to rename that. That's kind of redundant.
No, I like it.
I'm going to...
Is that what I called it? Scroll up, Albert, if you could. PAX Swag... Yeah, that's what I called it. Yeah.
PAX Swag Pack.
Okay.
I will post something on our forums, on the chat discussion boards on our Steam group.
He doesn't even know what it's called.
This week. I will post something up this week.
He just found out we had a Steam group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give it away next week, all right?
All right. Cool.
So, yeah. Oh, you want to
mention... Or it's going to fall into the well of forgotten
memories. You want to mention how to get a hold of us?
Hey, guys, we have a Twitter that hasn't been touched. I'm active on it, but I haven't got a new member that's actually a listener in a long time, so... Hit us up at DL Gaming DOT Net.
At DL Gaming DOT Net.
Yeah.
All right. When we mention Twitter, I don't do Twitter at all. So do you have to remember, or do you have to verbally say the at sign, or is it like when people used to say www dot? No one says www
anymore.
Yeah,
you don't have to do that. Okay. When you search for a person, you could just do it.
Okay, so you can just say go to Twitter and check out DL Gaming DOT Net.
Right. When you say Twitter, I think at is implied.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like when you're talking about me, stud is
like implied. Like in the 90s when people were like, check us out at HTTP / www dot. All right, let's end this.
Cool.
Fucking titties. Motherfucking titties.
And my name is Albert, and I'm your father.